You're listening to Frame 25, a brand new micro edition of the Brightwall Darkroom podcast in conversation with and sponsored by our friends at Gallery. Every month, we'll pick a title from Gallery's curated library and zoom in on a moment to better see the whole. I'm Veronica Fitzpatrick.
And I'm Chad Perman.
Today, we're chatting about Daisies, directed by Vera Hitlova, co-written by fellow Czechoslovak New Wave figurehead Esther Krumbakova, released in 1966 and recommended by Mike Mills.
Daisies is such a wild film and such a feminist film, and like just in just such a great space. Film is so male dominated, and it's women not being feminine in any way. And also, they're really gorgeous. They also are very feminine. But it's like you could just tell the male North Pole is gone, right? I find that really exciting. I find that really interesting, and really, I just love it. The film is just like so virtuosic. There's so many gorgeous images. There's insane sort of animation-like editing. There's a bunch of sort of visual, interesting in-camera tricks and in-chemistry tricks, and a playfulness, like a real wild, what's the word, feral, unhinged, but kind of musical playfulness to the whole thing. Again, not very narratively driven. It's the thinnest of narratives. It's really like you're just involved in the energy of these two women and kind of their hijinks.
In that clip provided to us by Gallery, Mike Mills is talking about, obviously, his love for the film Daisies, which was one of several films he picked as part of his favorite films to curate for the Gallery collection. I think what's fascinating to one is that movie showed up on his list because it's kind of counterintuitive when I think of Mike Mills, until really, really quickly it's not, because I think of all the things he does in various films that certainly don't ape Daisies directly, but they certainly borrow various, like, hey, you can do this at this point. You know, you can, I mean, just to draw random examples, you can make the dog's thoughts appear visible on screen, or, you know, you can just cut to animations, or those, the beautiful, perfect 2-minute film that's the opening intro to 20th Century Women. So certainly much more linear than anything that Daisies is doing. But you can certainly see an influence there. So, and I really just like how he talks a lot about it as basically just this really feminist film. And the line that we heard in the clip that I just love is that he says, which is very true, that here the male North Pole is just gone. And so I think that's a fantastic thing too, which I think we get at a little bit in the moment we're going to discuss. But strong recommendation from Mike Mills. I had not seen it before until we watched for the show, and a strong recommendation for me as well. I thought it was a fantastic movie. Really unlike anything I'd seen before, but just a delight to watch all the way through.
So for those not yet initiated, Daisies follows the misadventures of two young women, a brunette and a redhead, both called Marie. And in a kind of Cyndi Lauper-esque entree to Czech New Wave, they take walks, they hustle men for free dinners and drinks, and they also debate the veracity of their existence, all in this really formally experimental, almost psychedelic format.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. And there's lots of food in it. And so on to the moment, frame 25, so to speak. Veronica, this was a moment that I know that you brought to the table. Thank you for that. But I'm just curious, one, about just really quick general reaction to the film, but more specifically, what made you want to choose this moment out of a movie that literally feels full of moments, like it's a moments movie?
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree. It's exactly what I was going to say, is that there's so many like prominent stylistic endeavors in this film. We have so much like direct address to camera on the part of the actors. We have all these like intermittent washes of color during certain scenes. There are these really interesting, like, not only insert shots of sort of still images or slightly moving images, but also insert shots that emphasize a lot of movement and texture, and even a kind of colored movement sequence when the train kind of leaves for Bohemia, this train that we keep seeing.
Yes.
The girls like put their their marks basically onto to like get away from them after the bill has been paid. So the moment that I picked, which I feel like is a little bit of a key to the film, is one where the image itself and the figures within the image interchangeably experience this extreme modification. So the film seems the most aware of its own kind of plasticity in this moment.
Ooh, I like that.
And the moment I'm thinking of, it's brief, and I agree with you, it's not necessarily like the most obvious pick from this film where there are countless kind of Tumblr captures of the food fight, for example.
Yes, we have a whole essay on that on the site.
Yeah, which is like amazing, totally yeah. remarkable, so much fun. And I share Mike Mills's kind of admiration of the film's veneration of fun, right?
Yeah.
But in this moment, it's a sequence that starts with an overhead shot of the two girls kind of negotiating their places in the bed that they seem mm-hmm. to share in the apartment that sort of changes decor depending on the circumstances and the requirements of the scene. Here, the girls sort of wrap each other up in like blanket burritos and the shots of the room are intercut, as they often are, with shots of like a collage of cutouts of women's faces for magazines. And we hear mm-hmm. this whisper in voiceover about questions that the film has thought about at various other points. How do we know that we exist? And particularly yeah. because we're not participating in a kind of like legible societal framework, like we're not good citizens. So how do we know that we exist beyond our existence to one another? And they start cutting with scissors that we see as a prop. Yeah, like real scissors, diegetic scissors. We see them kind of cutting around each other's bodies, cutting the sheets, which leads to cutting the clothing that the other is mm-hmm. wearing, which leads to this super surreal moment.
Now we take a leap. Yeah,
exactly. Where what is dismembered or fragmented is like the body itself. And so we have this kind of like Georges Méliès style mm-hmm. floating disembodied head that appears for just a few moments and sticks its tongue out at us.
I missed it the first time through.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it happens pretty quickly.
I just saw the body, but I missed the head off in the corner.
Yeah, I know that Hitlova talked about the film as, quote, a philosophical essay in the form of a farce.
Oh, I like that.
I know, right? I think the fact that we're getting in that moment, but also elsewhere in the film, this surrealist, playful treatment of not only the body, but the image and of the film image itself, mm-hmm. that's the vehicle for exploring like these questions about, am I here? Am I real? Do I obtain? Like, can you see me? How do we know? Feels maybe like kind of cloyingly literal in a way, but also just whimsical in this sense that I really appreciate and feels totally contemporary, yeah. even though the film is from 1966.
Oh man, it does not seem like a film from 1966. No.
Yeah.
Not at all. I think I stepped in and cut you off right before you got to what the screen actually does after the disembodied head. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that, but it does a bunch of things where the images just start to rearrange them. I'm not going to do it justice here.
Yeah,
I don't think there's animation involved, but everything's moving around so quickly. And then it also starts to look like puzzle pieces that are kind of assembling mm-hmm. and reassembling mm-hmm. themselves, which, you know, obviously anytime you're talking about puzzle pieces fitting together in a dynamic between a friendship, you can be at least backing up against questions of identity and overlap and enmeshment and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's that piece of it. Also, just visually, it's like, am I on drugs? This is wonderful. And then it starts intercutting with, I couldn't even tell the things she intercut with them once it left them. Mm-hmm. But there was quick insert shots of other stuff really quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, a movie with 100 different fascinating things. So picking this one as a microcosm of like what it does, but also like a really, like you said, thematic representative mm-hmm. microcosm, I think it's a good way to go. I think there's a lot to unpack there, but also you can unpack none of it and just say, wow, this looks really neat. So it's got both of those things.
Yeah, I love that there's that dual invitation to sort of, on one hand, unpack none of it and just revel in the like oil slick rainbow textures of the water that they sort of look at for a moment.
Oh, the water at the beginning, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, to sort of think about this film as taking very seriously creativity and a break with tradition. I mean, when I think of Czech New Wave, I know it's not necessarily as familiar a moment in film history as, for example, like French New Wave, right?
Sure.
But the Czech New Wave might be thought of as like a reaction in a similar sense to propaganda, to communist orthodoxy. Hitlova was like, her career was severely curtailed because the release of this film. There was like an institutional recognition that this super silly, playful movie about girls running circles around married men at like a hotel restaurant.
That's the thing that drives authoritarian society is the craziest, is powerful yeah. women who don't seem to care about anything and will do whatever and live by their own rules. I mean, that's like, I can see why it got banned for a period of time where they wouldn't let it be. Art as an influence in society, you know, at a time when there wasn't a million screens to look at.
If
you have a bunch of people go to this movie and it catches really popular, like the government would have a good reason to be like, let's not have this movie out there. Let's not have this filmmaker making movies.
Yeah.
And Mike Mills talks later in that clip, which is fascinating in a few minutes, but he talks about, he's like, I mean, she got banned for this movie. He's like, how many of us current filmmakers working in America work under that kind of pressure? Like, literally none.
Well, definitely not Mike Mills. Definitely not Mike Mills.
He's been trying to get banned, and he's like, how do you ban me? I can't even get canceled. But yeah, no, I think that there's the politics around it. He called it an anti-war film, too, which I don't know enough about the history beyond the real broad strokes. In the 60s, I could tell you more about the history of the 80s and 90s, but in the 60s, I don't really fully know what was going on in Czechoslovakia, but shit was in the air, so to speak.
For sure. Well, 1966 were 2 years before the Prague Spring of 1968.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
There is this sense of like what we see on the level of style happening in this film, telling us something about the value of aesthetic innovation, but also, I think, liberation in a deeper sense from stylistic traditions, yes, political orthodoxy, yes, and just attitudes that would enforce a kind of optimism that had political connotations.
Fun is political.
Yeah, totally. As it is in Cyndi Lauper's song as well, I would argue. But
are you saying girls just want to have fun?
Yeah, I think that song is an anti-capitalist anthem for sure. And these girls, too, want to be the ones who walk in the sun, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sorry, we can't afford to clear the rights to play a quick little clip of that here. So, but in terms of, now again, not knowing a ton of films from Czechoslovakia or even really Eastern Europe around this time, was this way, way, way off the radar and left field? Or was this like there's a movement where similar experimentation is happening a la the French New Wave, where people are kind of drawing various pieces from various things? Or was this just like its own thing that was just out there?
Well, without downplaying the specific innovations of Daisies or of Hitlovad, like more generally, the fact that the film was also co-written by Esther Krumbakova is something that is maybe like less acknowledged, or less, I should say, emphasized, but another really important facet. And it's incredible that these women were at the forefront of this film movement that's associated with experimentalism and a kind of anti-authoritarianism. That also, like you were saying at the beginning, makes a lot of sense to me in thinking about why this film would resonate with Mike Mills, given his...
Oh, he loves his women. Yes.
Yeah, his total expansive affection for women in his films.
Yeah, that's great. Way to loop it together. I like that a lot. Yeah. And what he does say at the very end of the clip, which is also true, and we're kind of getting to before, it just sounds cooler to say it this way. Something like it's got a real punk rock vibe to it. You know, that's like punk rock didn't exist, obviously, in 1966, but it had that vibe to it of like, you know, making its own rules, doing its own thing. If you don't know how to play more than three chords, you play three chords. If you know how to play them cool, you invert them all over the place, do all this kind of, I mean, just kind of do whatever, but you have an attitude about it, which is, you know, in my way too oversimplified reading of punk, is kind of what ties a lot of punk music together, as disparate as some of the actual music itself can be, is that spirit. And this has that spirit, but pre-punk rock. So this might be the original punk rock film.
I love that. I mean, I can't think of anything more punk than being a former model who goes on to be the first woman to study directing and graduate from Prague's film school. So
yeah, that's amazing. Bikini Kill, the movie.
I love that.
Well, we talked about Fugazi a few episodes ago, so maybe that'll be a new thing, is to always work musical stuff in. Frame 26.
Thanks for listening to the very first installment of our brand new bite-sized monthly series, In Conversation With and sponsored by our friends at Gallery. And we'd actually love for you to join the conversation as well in the weeks ahead. Veronica and I will be hosting one of the very first live events on Gallery, centered around this month's film, Daisies. We're going to be announcing the date of the live discussion, along with some more details soon. So please subscribe, follow us on social media, or sign up for our weekly newsletter to stay in the loop and be among the first to know how to join the discussion. We're really excited to get a chance to talk with you. This episode is sponsored by Gallery, a new kind of film club helmed by Indian Paintbrush and shaped by artists and filmmakers. Bright Wall Darkroom listeners can sign up for early access at join.gallery.com/BWDR. And please tune in next month for another closer look.
Our theme music is composed by Chad Perman. This podcast is produced and edited by Eli Sands.
Bye.
Bye.
Cut.